Ladies and gentlemen, today on Guilty Movie Pleasures, we're not going to look at who's talking now or look who's talking to. No, we're simply going to focus on look who's talking. Oh, come on.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Shake, wait, dance. You can dance if you want to. You can leave your cares behind.
I want to do both. I want to dance and leave my cares behind.
You can shake weight. I was doing the shake weight dance instead of the safety dance.
Can you imagine if we were dancing and we actually had shake weights, how fit our arms would be?
You know what? If shake weight wants to promote our show.
Yeah, potential sponsorship.
If you want to sponsor our show, that's what I was looking for.
Hey, everyone out there, at shake weight, please.
At shake weight, sponsoring Guilty Movie Pleasures. Today we are talking the 1989 comedy classic, sorry, I couldn't say it with a straight face, Look Who's Talking. Do you remember when Kirstie Alley was a sex symbol? Because this movie does. Do you remember when John Travolta was a good, charming, adorable actor and could play a leading man and not just weird, kooky, lunatic characters with strange facial hair and bad toupees? This movie can. Do you remember when Bruce Willis was an adorable baby? This movie does. Oh, man.
Do you remember?
Oh, man.
Movies where we used to have animation sperm sequences.
Do you remember?
Good times.
Do you remember movies where the baby in the womb looks like a garbage pail kid? This movie does. Yeah. That's all I kept. When Renee and I watched this last night, in between checking in on the polls and hating our lives. But we'll get into that later. No, but we were watching this last night and the creepiest thing was the baby in the womb looked scary as hell. It looked like Quado from Total Recall. Mm-hmm. It looked weird. It freaked me out. I appreciated that it wasn't CGI and that it was practical and animatronics, but it freaked me the hell out.
They could have done better. They could have done better. I will say, I saw this movie a long, long time ago.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Yeah, and probably the only thing that I remembered about it was the sperm swimming sequence.
I remembered the sperm swimming. I remembered the big boob joke.
Okay.
And I remembered him running through traffic at the end.
Yeah, that came back to me as I was watching it. But
yeah,
before I started.
Sorry. That came back. Everything came back to me as I was watching it. But I distinctly remember, even as a kid, being like, that had to be so dangerous to have a child running through even stunt drivers.
Well, yeah. And also, and again, we'll get into this way later.
Yes.
But, the kid got into the car that was being towed, didn't close the door, and the tow driver is just like, off we go.
Yeah.
And it's just like an open door car.
We'll get into how this
towed around midtown traffic.
There were a lot of movies around this time that were, if you just took the comedy out of it, mm-hmm. could have just been commentaries on neglectful parenting.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
Yep.
Home Alone 2.
Yep.
Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking 2.
Look Who's Talking 2. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on.
Probably Problem Child.
Problem Child, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all
Blank Check.
What's that?
Blank Check.
Blank Check.
Blank Check.
Super neglectful parenting.
Oh, boy.
And then here, just take a check, Richie. Everything. And there's so many movies back in the mid to late '80s that were all like just shitty parents and their kids getting into either trouble or dangerous situations. Adventures in Babysitting. Mm. That's not really neglectful parents. That's more of a shitty friend Brenda who gets stuck in situations that then you have to go get her out of.
So I haven't seen that, but I'm imagining that they
go seen Adventures
on,
in
they
Babysitting?
Go on adventures.
You've never seen Adventures in Babysitting?
No.
Holy shit.
It sounds like a tutorial.
It's a fantastic. Elizabeth Shue is in it. It's so good. You'll love it.
All right.
You'll love it.
All right.
They have a guy that looks like Thor. You got to do it. You got to do it. So we're going to get into Look Who's Talking right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
My perspective on it now as an adult, as a kid, I remember thinking it was really funny. And I remembered it being more about the baby talking and that having more of an impact on the story.
Totally.
And as an adult watching it, I'm just like, that's just kind of a shitty gimmick they'd use to pull you into a not very interesting romantic comedy.
Right, yeah.
Because romantic comedies are a hard sell for me unless they're like really fucking good. And and people may disagree with me, but my standards for really good would be something like Love Actually.
Sure.
Which makes me bawl my eyes out every time. And even though it has those moments of completely ridiculous, hopeless romanticism in the end, it's beautiful. It's really well done. I loved, I think Just Friends is really funny with
great.
Ryan Reynolds.
That's fantastic.
I think High Fidelity is a fantastic romantic, but that's more of a, that's a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
That's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gross Point Blank is a romantic comedy.
Sure.
Fantastic.
Sure.
Wedding, The Wedding Singer is one of the best ever. I fucking love The Wedding Singer.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Go to, yes. And wait, no. Wait, no. I was thinking of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, oh, that's a great one.
That's why I immediately went, yes, wait.
Wait.
Wait a minute.
The romantic
you
movies.
You tricked me.
With the digit 10 in it. It's a
everything.
Classic rom-com.
So that's why
trope.
this one to me just feels like a shitty, underdeveloped romantic comedy with funny parental moments. And the reason we chose this, you suggested it because my wife's going to have a baby in, well, she's due in 7 days. So it could happen any
day. It could be happening now.
I should take my airplane mode off just in case it happens now. There we go. Yeah. Deal with the buzzes, people. Deal with the buzzes.
So this is. So how did you feel being an imminent father?
It's funny because some of the stuff I found humorous, like, and we'll get into the specifics of things, but some of the jokes about pregnancy. And then some of it was just super unrealistic where we're like, that's not what happens.
Yeah.
You know, we were calling it out like when I used to watch ER with my mom back in the day, and my mom's a nurse, and we'd watch ER and she'd be like, this is ridiculous. They would never do this. Like George Clooney's character is not performing the surgery correctly. And now that
he's far too beautiful.
Exactly. Far too beautiful. I've never seen a doctor that pretty before. But no, so yeah, it definitely... it had fun moments, but for the most part, it's a very forgettable, ridiculous movie.
Yeah, it is.
I wanted it to be more about showing through the kid's perspective, because that, to me, is what I remembered, is that the movie is from the kid's point of view, like, this, and it just kind of haphazardly thrown in there.
Isn't that amazing, like, how we remember things and, like, our perception changing as we get old? Because I thought the same thing. I remembered, I remembered the sperm swimming. But I also had just a general memory of it being about the kid and the kid talking and like how that was something I hadn't seen before. And just, it being about the kid. And it wasn't at all. No. The kid didn't come out until probably 20 to 30 minutes into the movie. And then when he did, it was like...
It's just like layup jokes. It's like Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men layup jokes.
It also seemed like a lot of the baby voiceover was done after they filmed it. Where they just had video footage and they were like, okay, say something.
Yeah, it definitely felt like that. Where it's just like, oh, I'm going to set this down right here.
And now the video's off.
And all right, Bruce, just improv whatever you want this time around.
Yeah, and it just seemed so directionless and just like random.
Yeah. All right, so now we'll also talk about the stuff we did like about the movie. But before that, let's get into the plot in under 3 minutes.
Let's do it.
Which is pretty easy. So
I think they did the plot in under 3 minutes,
I think they did too.
Actually.
I think they did too. So are you ready in the booth, Zach?
Oh, yeah, we're ready to go.
All right, in 3, 2, 1. So we start off with you find out that she's dating a married man, and she's in love with him and blah, 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 and he seduces her. And then we have this hilarious sperm swimming montage where then it lands in the egg and Bruce Willis is really orgasmically excited and it becomes an electric storm. And then a baby's born, and then she's like, well, we were going to raise it together, and you think maybe they're going to. And then she happens upon a store where he's making out with his interior designer in the dressing room, and he's like, I'm in my selfish stage. What a dick.
What an asshole. So she goes through the pregnancy and like she decides she wants to explain to all her friends and to her mom that she didn't become pregnant. She was artificially inseminated because she's already 33 and her biological clock is ticking and it's time for a baby.
Because in the 80s, that was a thing.
That's a real thing. And that's something your doctor would impress upon you. Hey, your biological clock is ticking.
Like
have
this clock.
This baby. Okay. And so she gets upset after she sees him kissing. She goes into labor. She gets into a cab, and John Travolta's driving the cab, and he drives like a fucking maniac.
He drives
to the
like
hospital.
The player, like when you're playing Crazy Taxi, that video game back in the day.
Like there are no repercussions.
No repercussions.
Absolutely.
Not that she's gonna. Yeah, she's not even wearing a seatbelt. It is super dangerous.
Just the worst.
They get to the hospital. She has the baby. He's thrown in there like he's the dad, and he just goes along with it.
Yeah.
And then she has the baby, and then we get the first voiceover. Bruce Willis like, put me back in. Put me back in. And you're like, this is where the movie's gonna get great.
And then it doesn't.
Nope.
So he shows back up at her apartment with her purse because she left her purse in the cab. He brings subs. She doesn't want subs. He like tries to make a little charming pass. Everything's whatever. So then she goes on about her life. She then sees him again in her lobby trying to steal mail from her mailbox.
She's like, what's this all about?
And he's like, oh, they keep sending you bad mail. Put it up here. I'm picking up up a client. And then she realized that he's been sending mail to her apartment.
And you find out that it's because he needed residency to get his grandpa into a old folks home. And so then they make a deal, really loose plot point, where they make a deal where he's going to be the babysitter so he can still get the mail illegally sent to her place. So they make this deal. The rest of the movie is basically
she goes back and forth between her going on
shitty dates with really not funny jerks and weird flash forwards to these strange imaginative futures. And then him bonding with the baby, where clearly she should just go out with him, but she can't. She's never going to fall for somebody just because they're handsome and she loves them. Okay.
It makes no sense.
And then, a little bit more.
And so then they have a falling out because he sabotages one of her dates, and then like the dad comes and he gets in a fight with the dad.
Yeah.
And so they have a falling out. Then the grandfather is getting kicked out of the old person's home.
He's
so
too much candy.
She goes and saves him. Okay. And then the baby escapes the old person home, gets in a car. The car gets towed away. Where's the baby?
Oh, no. They show up. They're like, oh my God, where is it? The baby. The baby's in the middle of Times Square walking in between all these cabs. And we're back where we started, where he's racing along with his cab. They find the baby. They get him. They hug. Oh, there's a 17 car pile up. And then they kiss.
And then Kirstie Alley and John Travolta
kiss. Should I tell him I have a poopy diaper? Nah, wait.
New baby's born.
Ah, yes. Wow, we actually had breathing room there. Yeah. We just stretched it out as much as we could.
Boy, that was a relaxing plot in under 3 minutes, let me tell you. We really got into some nitty-gritty details.
Here's the thing. It does have its 80s charm still. This movie is charming. It's just not... It doesn't age well, that's all.
Yeah.
For the time when I saw... And I remember my parents loving this movie. I remember seeing Look Who's Talking To and thinking it was funny. I'll never revisit it now. And Look Who's Talking Now, I don't remember. I know there was dogs talking.
The dogs talk.
Barely remember that.
By the way, you get dogs first.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the order of things. You get dogs.
Is that the prequel? It should have been.
It should have been.
Look who was talking then.
Yeah. Look who used to be talking.
So let's first get into this sperm montage.
Yeah.
Because is that animated or is it like when I was a kid, I was convinced it was real, like microscopic footage.
Yeah, like a camera was in there.
Because it looks really good for the time.
Yep. No longer.
I don't know. It must be.
It looked like...
It has to be.
It looked
like puppetry.
Yeah. I was going to say, it looked like a cross between like actual drawn animation and like what South Park does with the paper cutouts.
You know, it's funny. When I was a kid, my parents covered my eyes during this section when I first saw it the first few times. So I didn't know what was happening. I just heard the Beach Boys song and giggling. They covered my eyes as if somehow seeing sperm impregnate an egg would make me corrupted.
I mean, it's sexually explicit.
It's super sexually explicit, nothing,
yes. I mean, nothing gets you an R rating quicker than showing animated sperm.
Even though this is PG-13.
Mistakes were made.
In fact, let's play the number one clip, which is where the Bruce Willis sperm is the one who swims ahead of all the others while this Beach Boys song is playing. And his reaction is orgasmic, to say the least. Can we play clip number one? There's something unsettling about that. There's something unsettling about that clip.
Yeah.
It's like we're rewinding to teenage Bruce Willis masturbating for the first time in a sock.
I go back to this a lot of times when we talk about some of these clips, but I wonder what his direction was.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, hey, just,
so
keep it comedically sexual.
At this point, you're a sperm. Mm-hmm. So really, like, get into that.
Yeah.
But this is the moment where the sperm enters the egg.
And you're it's like euphoric, but excited, but comedic.
And like, but is it, though? I just want to pose that question.
Can we play it again? Is it? I don't know.
And then I guess it just
makes me feel icky every time I hear it.
I guess he just gets into an echo chamber. Yeah. I think that's what that is.
When he gets in the egg, it's an echo chamber.
Yeah.
And then when electricity starts shooting through the egg, like, I'm like, I don't think when a sperm impregnates an egg, it's like the beginning of an X-Men title sequence.
So look, I know that you're about to be a dad, so you've experienced conception, but like... Yeah. Have you ever seen it happen?
You know what? I haven't.
So you don't know.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe fact check this. And is there an electrical storm in the egg?
I bet it's on Google.
It's on Wikipedia, guys.
Probably.
And then Kirstie Alley, I don't know if you knew this, her character in this was the first ever contender for I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, because she the show was based on her character in this movie, because she's eating weird cravings, she's barfing all the time,
yep,
she's eating nonstop, she's crampy, she's like, I don't know what's wrong with me, and then they're like, what if you're pregnant? And then she does the pregnancy test from the 80s, where it's like, it looks like what we used to use as kids when we would test the rainwater for acid rain.
Yeah.
It was like, boop, 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 and if you, I don't know what it was, but it was like, if you put certain drops into your urine, it changed a different color, and that's how you found out you were pregnant?
I couldn't tell, like...
I didn't know you needed a beaker set.
How she got the urine into the beaker? I needed a whole scene of explanation for that.
Is there a deleted scene for that?
There has to have been.
That is a narrow margin of error.
Because it was either the urine was in the beaker or the urine was in the dropper, and I didn't know how she got it in either one.
It was too confusing for me.
Or maybe they were just two unrelated liquids. Maybe they didn't come from her at all.
It was just saliva. Yeah, she just had to spit a lot into the thing. So then...
she's like, I have baby juice handy, so let me try that.
There is an overwhelming theme in this movie about the female's clock ticking, which I think is still prevalent in modern times, but I feel like in the 80s it was more accelerated. I feel like now we live in a time, especially in cities like Los Angeles and New York and the bigger cities around the country where...
Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah, not that women aren't career-focused in other states, mm-hmm. but it seems like where women are as or close to as career driven as men in their relationship, they wait to have to be pregnant. Like my wife is 31, I'm 35 almost, but people, there is still that thing of like your clock's ticking, like the magic number of 35. If you don't, and yes, there are risks, but I know tons of people who have had babies into their 40s. And they're fine.
Yeah.
And I think that, but at this time, like in the 80s specifically, if you were in your early 30s and single, specifically dating and in love with a married man, you were a pariah.
Yeah.
You were not accepted in this society.
And,
you know?
And forgive me, like this, you have two guys right now talking about the pressures that are put on women.
In fact, I wanted Renee to come, my wife, to be on the show today, but she's just kind of exhausted from everything yesterday and exhausted from pregnancy and stuff. Lame. So she's going to pop in 7 days. So she's just,
I mean, how great would it be if she popped live?
That would be amazing. Guys, we have to cancel the show. We're halfway through, but my wife's water just broke. See you next year.
No, that would become a guilty movie pleasure.
Oh my god,
we would have to then revisit this show.
If her water
so
breaks
meta.
While I'm gone and could have happened here, I'm gonna be so pissed.
It's gonna be upsetting. But what I was gonna say is there's just more like overt pressure.
Yeah.
Like now I from what I now understand, it's a little bit more implied pressure. Yeah. But the pressure, like I said, the doctor multiple times.
Oh yeah,
was like your biological clock is ticking, and
nightmare.
Then she had the nightmare,
the Harold Lloyd nightmare, yeah. where she's hanging from a ticking clock and falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it was, I agree, it was more overt back then, and maybe in other parts of the country it is, but I know when Renee and I were starting to think about trying, people were kind of like, oh, good, because you know your clock is, they hadn't really said it before.
They waited till you brought it up.
Yeah, like once we were like, oh, we're going to start trying, they're like, oh, good, because like, you know that clock, it's ticking, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, well, you know, worry about yourself.
Worry about yourself, you fuckers. Anyways, so... So I talked about how...
you should have just told them you're afraid of the electrical storm that was going to happen in her belly.
And then there's the fun montage of them trying to build the baby stuff. And I can attest to, having gone through this already, building the baby equipment, the crib, the dresser. I did it in stages and it was still maddening because it's like, it wasn't IKEA... But it was like IKEA directions where it's just like pictures pointing at fucking things that some of them have stickers that label what one it is and some don't. Some screws are like barely to the naked eye different in size. So you're like, is this there? You always end up missing something and being like, oh, shit, is that one screw I don't have? The difference between life and death? Like,
and,
what?
But also, that was, like, back in step one, and now you're in step four, and you're like, wait, I need to undo all of this?
I had to take apart the dresser three different times in three different parts of it, and I swear, I become a monster when I'm putting... I'm like, ah! So I've learned something, and I pitched this to my parents, and they thought this was brilliant, because I realized... Because my mom made the joke about, like, well, welcome to every Christmas morning. Because my dad, I remember specifically as a kid, would hate putting together my G.I. Joe bases and things like that on Christmas morning. Especially when we get down to, like, building it, and then he'd have to put the stickers on, and it's like, fuck. So what I realized is, I'm going to build anything my daughter wants before Christmas morning.
Smart.
Give her the box and then be like, and look, Santa also put it together for you. Christmas morning saved.
Yeah, or just tell her, like, if you want to be successful in life, you'll learn how to build things.
You can build
so
this yourself.
Why don't you figure this out?
3-year-old.
Yeah.
So
it's good to put those pressures on them early, just so.
One of my other
they're used to it.
Favorite sound clips is the when they find out it's a boy,
mm-hmm.
and Bruce Willis's discovery of his penis. Can we do clip number two? Another frightening yet hilarious clip.
Oh, look at that! Another little arm coming in down there. What's it doing way down there? Now, how am I gonna get that in my mouth?
Oh boy.
Oh, I see what they're doing there.
Nothing like a fetus making a self blowjob. Nothing like that.
I know
standing
where
standing applause.
Whew, I know where they're going with that joke, but
little known fact, this was actually I saw this in the features. This was actually Bruce Willis as a fetus describing his introduction to his own penis.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He knew.
That's found footage.
How am I gonna get that in my mouth?
Great question.
Actually, non-penis related. When I was a kid and I used to go to the candy stores, those giant jawbreakers that were like fucking huge, and I eventually would take a hammer to it to break it apart,
mm-hmm.
because when you're first looking at it, and even as an adult with an adult-sized mouth, I'm still thinking,
now how am I going to get that in my mouth?
It's impossible. Burgers sometimes, when I'm at the bar, and I get that big-ass juicy burger from the counter, I'm just like,
now how am I going to get that in my mouth?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
One time I got in a fist fight, and one of my teeth got knocked out, and so I was a little bit delirious and a little bit, mm-hmm. like, just shaken, mm-hmm. and I looked down at the ground, and I saw one of my teeth, and I was like, that's...
Now how am I going to get that in my mouth?
Yeah, I didn't know how to get it back. How are you going to get that back?
How are you going to get that back?
Yeah.
You can't get that
it's
back.
It's nearly impossible.
How am I going to get that back
you
in my
medical
mouth?
Assistance.
There is something that is very accurate, which is when Kirstie Alley has to pee at every store and every, like...
Yeah.
Renee will go to her parents, which is a 10-minute car ride, and she'll be like, ooh, I think I have to pee again.
Yeah.
Which is good, because I have a hummingbird bladder.
I was
going
to say, I might be pregnant,
yeah,
because I pee all the time.
I have a hummingbird bladder, and there are some times where if I have a cup of coffee and I go to a 90-minute movie, I still go pee like 2 or 3 times, because the coffee just triggers it, and I'm like, gah!
I legitimately...
And now it's like we're tied.
Can I just tell you something, and I'm going to bare my soul right here
in front
of the entire Guilty Movie Pleasure audience.
Bear it.
When I know that I'm going to go see a movie later that day, I time out my pees.
Or
I schedule them.
I time out what I'm drinking. I make sure that I don't chug certain and water and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I go into a theater dehydrated.
Yep.
But I bring water with me, and then I can sip on it while I'm there.
Yeah.
Because my body works where it's like, I don't go for half the day, and then as soon as I sit down in a movie, it's like, hey, bro, remember all that stuff you drank, bro?
It's time.
Here you go, bro.
It's time.
Fuck!
Yeah.
Although when I saw Train to Busan today... Not at all, man. That movie had me gripped to my seat.
Shout out.
If you didn't see that, Train to Busan, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's a Korean zombie flick. It's fucking awesome. It's great.
But it sounds like if you didn't see it, you're not alone in not seeing it, because you said you were the only
I was the only
one
in
that theater?
Yeah, it was
okay,
great.
So populate those theaters, folks.
We saw Storks yesterday, and Renee and I were the only ones. Yeah. I love being the only people in the theater. Anyways, I'm getting off the topic here. So then we talked about Travolta driving like a maniac and having no regard for her safety.
Yeah, we only see him driving, I think, twice, and both times.
Both times,
he
reckless.
Just cuts across... all the lanes,
super reckless,
just creates a bunch of accidents.
Driving on sidewalks. Pretty sure there's a warrant out for his arrest after the first time,
and his
taxi cab license would have been taken away.
I also want to. So this is not super important, but like I want to visit the fact that he's driving a taxi as a side job,
mm-hmm.
and everything I've heard from anyone who knows anything about driving a taxi is it's super expensive to get a taxi medallion. And like, once you get it, like that's your job and you do that for a living.
Yeah. It's not like Uber drivers where you can do it. Like where you can just be relaxing.
No,
I'll
but
Uber
he,
when
he
I want.
He just like casually drives the taxi around.
And
so good for him.
When she goes into the pregnancy, when she goes into labor, the possessed voice is something I'm afraid of on the day my wife goes into labor. Can we play clip number 3, please?
Slow down your breathing. You're not in an aerobics class.
Fuck my breathing.
I love how, like, this is an absurdist comedy, but that takes it to, oh, I got an eyelash in my eye. It just, like, dive bombed me. That takes it to a new... Fuck my breathing. Fuck my eyelash.
Do you need me to take over for a
take
second?
Take over for a second.
All right, so that takes it to a new level, I think, is what you were going to say. But there's just weird, like, sporadically throughout the movie, like, perspective changes. So you'll get, a couple of Kirstie Alley flash forwards. We talked about the dream sequence that she had.
Yeah.
But just where she starts imagining how things will go if they continue along this path. And then just that moment where she starts speaking like she needs an exorcism.
Satan.
Yeah.
Let Jesus fuck me.
That's
from Exorcist. No, I didn't just pull that out of my ass in case you didn't know, in case you were super confused. Check yourselves before you wreck yourselves.
So we talked about the biological clock, but then there was the other, like, Lamaze class runner that they brought back like four or five times where it's just like, hey, did you go to Lamaze class? No, I quit Lamaze class. It was just breathing. Oh, but you got to learn how to breathe. No, fuck Lamaze class.
By the way, Lamaze is almost completely phased out. It's more just like deep yoga breaths now. It's not.
Oh, well. That's Kirstie Alley was ahead of her time.
She's ahead of her time, yeah. So then we get into the birth reaction where Bruce Willis is born. Can we play clip number 4? I have no doubt that if my daughter had been born yesterday, given the election results, her reaction upon seeing Trump for president on the screen would have been this.
Help! Oh no! Put me back in! Put me back in, please, buddy. Let go of my head and put me back inside.
Who is that?
Who is that?
Who's that? Trump and Pence? Oh, fuck my life. I'm out of here. I made the joke to some of my extended family where I was like, if that happens, she's just going to crawl back up inside. Yeah. She's not out yet. She's just going to hibernate for 4 years. We're going to give birth to a toddler.
She doesn't have to make the decision.
She's
going to
be a kindergartner.
She's going to be like, she's going to be reading a book on her way out.
Oh, fuck.
Mice and Men.
Then this gets you thinking you're going to get a different movie than you actually get, where they go to the baby room where all the babies are talking. And can we play that clip? Because I think that's really funny.
I just don't get it, and I don't like it. Where did I go wrong?
Where are my thumbs? Where the hell
are
my
funny.
Thumbs?
It's so funny. She has her mittens on.
My thumbs.
Boy, I gotta think about getting my own place. Whew. I did not think I'd be reincarnated.
And Gandhi?
Yeah.
Whew. What a surprise.
Woof.
Woof. Woof. Boy. Woof.
Who stole my sucking thing? I need my sucking thing!
Just remember, I hate childhood.
Can I mention that I love that Gandhi's that a big hook for whoever was doing the Gandhi impression was the woof woof, woof. Like that's what got them into it.
I kind of feel like sometimes to get into accents I have to like say where they're from. So like Ireland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that helps me get into it.
Pak the Khan, the Havid Yad.
Yeah, in Boston. So I just sort of feel like it's sort of funny that, like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But, woof, 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 woof. Now we can do Indian. Woof.
Oh, my God. So then we're going to skip ahead a little bit because not a lot happens in this.
Wait, I also just wanted to note, this is, again, not super important, but, like, when she goes out of the toy store or the clothing store after seeing her boyfriend kissing another girl, there's a Starbucks there. And this movie was in 1989. And I, like, honestly, and this shows how selfish I am, I thought Starbucks came into existence when I started drinking coffee. Like, I never noticed that before.
I didn't know it was a thing before.
No.
Like, it was 97 or something.
Right, exactly. And this movie was made in 89.
It blows my mind.
There's a Starbucks right there on the corner.
It's like if you saw someone carrying an iPhone or something. No, not the same at all.
Mm.
Then they'd be a time traveler.
Yeah.
So, anyways, now that I just... shit that one out. The baby talk clip is really fun too, where they get together and this is a different play. This is something I always think of whenever people are like, which actually studies have shown that if you talk gibberish to kids, often it's bad because then they don't learn.
They don't understand.
They don't learn. They're actually smarter than we think. So it's just funny to me, his reaction. Can we play the baby talk clip? Number six.
Oh, yeah. She's gone.
I 100% think that that's a baby's thing. Like, yeah, I'm laughing at you because you're fucking nuts.
You're a goddamn lunatic.
You are a lunatic.
Yeah, everyone else is speaking intelligently.
And then you're... I think it's more of a grandpa-grandma thing. Or it used to be. More stereotypical when in the 80s, specifically when I was growing up. I remember... like older relatives doing that.
I think it's just like people like take input and think that that is also what that entity will receive. Like, like if a baby's just make sounds. Yes. And so like,
you
just
kind of mimic them.
Yeah. You just kind of want to make sounds back.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes like when you're speaking to someone with an accent, you sort of adopt that accent a little bit.
Oh, that happens to me around British people all the time. Yes. And I'm always embarrassed. It's I'm not, oh shit. Yeah. I'm not like trying to mimic you. It just sort of happens every once in a while.
Ireland.
So, so then we get a lot of back and forth where she goes out on these shitty dates and the one guy talks about his colon and getting a gallstone passed or a kidney stone passed for like, which by the way, on a first date, in case you didn't know, that kind of stuff's kind of off limits.
Yeah,
don't talk about your gallstones.
I wouldn't. Although if it just happened, like I can understand that. Like,
yeah,
that
it's
was
a traumatic. Maybe just don't go dating for a little bit until you've recovered
off.
From the trauma.
Take some time off. Get back on Tinder.
And Mikey and John Travolta are bonding more, aka Bruce Willis and John Travolta, and which is crazy because they're so adversarial in Pulp Fiction. But who thought?
Interesting.
This is the sequel to Pulp, or the sequel to this is Pulp Fiction, where Mikey grows up and gets back at Travolta. So, but then they go and they meet up with this girl who's just unnecessarily cleavage showing. It reminds me of the scene in Christmas Vacation with Clark Griswold.
Yeah, yeah.
But less funny. Can we play the jumbos clip number 7?
Wait a minute. These things come in different sizes? What are these, jumbos?
Look at you staring at that. You must be thinking the same thing I am.
Lunch.
So I went to the grocery store when I was... probably like 19. It was like my first solo trip to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I went and like I had always just eaten eggs, like just scrambled eggs.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
always
yeah.
just had
yeah.
eggs in Makes the fridge. Sense. So I went. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go buy eggs because that's healthy. I want to make some breakfast for myself. I went to the egg section and there were all different kinds of eggs. And I looked and I was like,
wait a minute, these things come in different sizes?
Fuck.
What are these, jumbos?
Yeah. Look at you staring at that. You must be thinking the same thing I am.
Lunch.
Yeah, what else would you be thinking?
Yeah, I know. This is like weird
weirdo.
Dude behind me.
Super creepy. I know
like,
that I know that guy
off me?
Who's wearing a trench coat and he had a thin mustache. And just like, hey, are you looking at those things? I know what you must be thinking the same thing.
Now how am I gonna get that in my mouth?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good one, Zach.
I mean you're gonna cook it.
You're gonna cook it first.
Mm-hmm.
So and the kid grows up. Mikey grows up fast.
Super fast.
So he's like a year old, and you're telling me a year goes by with Travolta babysitting him, and they have yet to kiss or realize they're in love or anything or have any real character development scenes.
Yeah.
They focus, we talked about this before the show and maybe a little bit already, it's a blur, but I feel like they spend most of the movie establishing what she doesn't want instead of what she should want in Travolta, which is a cornerstone in romantic comedies. You have to build up the relationship of the two people, and I clocked it at an hour in, they finally kiss, and then they immediately break up after.
Right.
And so they rush an entire movie's worth of development into the last 30 minutes.
Right.
And that's where this movie's biggest fault lies.
And it wasn't like her objection to him wasn't real clear. It was like,
it was basically like, I'm not gonna, she says it, she's like, I'm not gonna fall for somebody again who's handsome just because I love them, and I'm not gonna do that, I'm gonna get somebody better. And it's like,
what?
But if you love them, isn't that better? I don't understand.
Like, he loves your kid?
Yeah, like, he's clearly the right choice.
It's such
he's
weird...
He's so lovable, and, like, and he gets... He's a perf... And Mikey, the baby's like, I'm gonna ask him to be my daddy. That'll be fun, you know? And so it's just... All like, signs are pointing to
everyone's
go.
Everyone's on board. I did want to mention John Travolta. It was nice. I think you mentioned it in the plot in under 3 minutes, but it was nice to see him...
Oh, yeah, I stole that from you.
Be charming. That's okay. It was nice to see him be charming young John Travolta again.
You forget how friggin' charming he was.
How great he is. Especially, like, I know you said you hadn't seen it, but People vs. O.J. Simpson, like, he's a cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's so uncomfortable to watch. And it's like, what are you doing right now? Like, it's so amateur and just like, I don't know where this came from. And then to watch where he was at this point in his career, like he was so good. Mm-hmm. Like, and this wasn't like obviously a juicy role or anything like
that,
but he was just like, like carefree and like relaxed and just like a person.
He's fun and he's alive in this, and the dance montage with him and Mikey.
Yeah.
It's like some of those look like the dance moves he used with Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction. Not to just keep referencing Pulp Fiction, but he's doing like this thing, and like it's totally his dance. It's his go-to moves.
It's like the shake weight dance. But what they almost named Pulp Fiction was You still talking?
I like that.
It
now
happened.
Let's move on to the baby joke clip where the three babies are together. And again, if this movie focused more on showing everything from the baby's perspective,
it should have just been about the baby.
Baby should have been born in the first 2 minutes, and then boom, the whole rest of the movie is from their POV.
Would be baby trying to get John Travolta and Kirstie Alley together,
like Parent Trap,
exactly. But baby,
Parent Trap meets Garfield, where instead of Garfield, you have a baby.
Yep.
Because John can't understand Garfield. Odie can't understand Garfield.
Good point.
John Travolta doesn't need to... Yeah, that's what it should have been. We're gonna remake Look Who's Talking the right way.
The right way.
I'm writing the script tonight. That's all it'll take is one night. Can we play the baby joke? Clip number 8.
Okay, I got another one. Stop me if you heard it. How many babies does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
What's a light bulb?
Ah!
Nailed it.
I don't get it.
the other little baby, I don't get it. And the thing that gets even weirder about this movie is that they let the kids mouth things, but they're not saying
things.
They don't
make sounds.
So you can tell that the kids were old enough to potentially say real words, but that they just dubbed over them like a bad Godzilla movie, where it's like, hey, so dad, park and ice cream chocolate.
But like,
and instead it's like, hey, here's a joke, Bruce Willis style. I don't know why I turned into Bill Cosby. That was awful. Wow. Where that just went.
Shrunk back into myself a little bit.
Where did that come from? I hate it.
Oh, God.
Zach, how much time do we have left to keep? Put that up there again
we
so I know.
We need a palate cleanser.
And play the baby joke again, because we definitely need that.
Okay, I got another one. Stop me if you heard it. How many babies does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
What's a light bulb?
I don't get it.
Pretty much. We just acted it out for you.
Yeah.
Perfect. So,
by the way, a little advice to that baby. If you don't get something, just act like you get it. It'll get you far in life.
Just pretend like you get it, babies.
Yeah.
So I want to get into her imagination where she goes and visits her ex and his head explodes into a ball of confetti.
Mm-hmm.
Weird scene. The weird future version of her and John Travolta where, like, he's fat and they're all just smoking cigarettes and they got, like, 45 kids in the kitchen. And it's like, hey, look, I found this lettuce in a dumpster in this can of soup. Like, just because he's frugal and into, like... trying to he has some schemes
sure.
Her nightmare vision of him is dumpster diving and bringing it home for dinner
and like adopting an accent
and becoming Danny Zuko is what happens. And then we get this heartwarming moment where he says goodbye to Mikey in the baby monitor, and you think, oh man, this is gonna be great, they're gonna get together. And then she says fuck you to Albert the D-bag ex, and then they kind of have a falling out, and then they're reunited because Grandpa goes nuts and is eating too much candy and hitting the orderly, and then they settle that up because they realize there was a language breakdown.
So
much stuff happens. I'm trying to speed through because I want to say something at the end here.
I know, I understand. I just wanted to spend what time that we have left maybe talking about this nursing home and what a fucked up nursing home this is. Because isn't it your job to deal with old people, first of all?
Yeah.
Second of all, like, don't employ someone who can't communicate with the families.
Yes.
And if they have a problem and can't communicate, then at least have someone around who can be like, oh, let me translate
this. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because if it's a major issue, like, get your blood sugar.
And like, the problem was he ate too much candy and was yelling at an orderly, and so you have to call a family?
And you have to...
What?
And you're thinking of basically expelling him from the nursing home?
Yeah. This isn't like a Motel 6.
No.
This is a nursing home. Like, get your shit together.
Old people yell at orderlies and nurses in nursing homes.
It's mostly what happens.
It's like the norm.
Also, Abe Vigoda, who plays the grandfather, recently passed away.
Rest in peace,
but
Abe. He was so funny.
He was so funny, and 25 years ago, he played someone on his deathbed. Like,
that guy.
1989.
Did he live till 104?
He must have. How old
was
he when this movie was filmed? Because he
looked old.
He was,
back
like,
then.
Senile, like, going around the bend.
I think he found some sort of cybernetic organism to keep him alive. That's incredible. But rest in peace,
he probably ate a bunch of avocados.
That's what it was. So then we talked about the whole thing where Mikey thinks that Travolta has left, and just keep calling him Travolta because it's easier. And so he goes out, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get in the car like Travolta taught me, and like my daddy taught me. And like you said, the tow truck driver doesn't check the doors open or anything. And then they're running through Times Square. There's a big car pile up. They're reunited. They're hugging.
And also,
would have gotten in trouble with the law. With
yeah,
that.
Rather than just follow the tow truck around, he like drives through alleys and over sidewalks and causes accidents and nearly kills pedestrians.
Yeah,
it's like, why didn't you just follow that tow truck, man?
Yeah, it's brutal.
Like, there would have been a stop. Like, it's New York traffic. You probably just could have run after it.
Yeah,
it would have been fine.
And then they kiss, and we end on this last clip. Then clip number 9. Can we play that? Where they're kissing, and this is what Mikey has to say. Clip number 9, please.
Now, should I tell him I need a new diaper?
Oh, no, don't ruin it.
Nah, I'll wait.
And then this song plays. Beep, 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 people keep repeating. Beep, 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 beep. If you'll never fall in love, when everybody keeps retreating. Okay, all right, enough of that, enough of that. Cut it, cut it, cut it. Zach, cut that shit off. All right. Okay. Now, seriously. I have to get serious here. And I hope this doesn't upset any of our viewers. Big things happened yesterday in the election. And I know this is a comedy show. And I know that we talk about ridiculous movies. And so this is the last place you want politics to come in. And yesterday was a rough day for over 50% of our country, myself included. And I looked at my wife last night, and we're having a daughter, and I was genuinely afraid for what's going to happen bringing my daughter into this country. And I hope that my worst fears aren't realized. I hope that we can find love and we can find acceptance out of this, out of such a rough time. And I get, here's the thing, before any Trump supporters that are watching this, before you tune out and ignore me, I get partly where you were coming from. I grew up in Ohio. I saw the rubber industries. I saw steel industries. I saw industries leave. I saw the death of the American dream. My dad was unemployed and laid off more times than I can even remember. I saw that happen firsthand. I've seen the death of the middle class firsthand, and it's depressing. And I understand your anger and your fear towards the government that has failed you and who you think has failed you. I disagree with who I think would have helped us out of this, and but I get it, and I think that we're all in shock, and I'm in shock because I couldn't fathom this happening. But before those of us who are on the other side, who are reeling right now, who are in pain, who feel helpless, please, please, whether you're for Trump or against, let's not just hide behind our Facebook posts anymore, and let's show this country that we can be more than just a hashtag, that retweeting your favorite liberal comedians like I've done isn't going to change anything. It's not going to do anything. We need to go into these next 4 years. We can't just... So please, if you're posting things like, see you in 2020 or I'm moving to Canada, that is not going to help anything. Now more than ever, we have to go into the next 4 years with vigilance, by paying attention, getting out there, having our voices heard. Pay attention. If there's something, if you're on either side, if the government's doing something you don't like, let's speak out and not just to preach into the choir your friends on Facebook who agree with you. Let's show that we have a voice again, and let's try and fight when we need to fight and heal wherever we can heal in this country, because blaming each other and just making it as simple as, oh, these people are racist and hateful and these people are liberals, it's not that simple, and we need to heal, and I really, really hope that we can. And I'm going to say a little bit more, but Jesse, I wanted to give you a second too, and I know we have little time.
Yeah, and I appreciate it.
Sorry, I got fired up.
I appreciate what you said, and I also just wanted to throw a couple of my two cents out there. I acknowledge that this is coming from a position of privilege, that I get to only be upset and I get to only be ashamed of what happened, and I don't have to be afraid, because I'm a straight white man in this country. And so I'm in a somewhat unique position to be upset about this, but not be as affected as other people.
Yeah.
So I would urge everyone not to tell anyone else how they should feel. I would urge everyone else to try and understand that people are going through things right now and they need however long they need, I would urge that no one resort to any more violence or hatred, because hatred begets hatred, and this campaign was run on hatred. And the only way that I think we're going to be able to combat that is with love. And again, it's easy for me to say because I'm not as affected as some other people out there, but I don't want to see destruction. I would like to see congregation.
I agree.
And
I want to speak to all the Guilty Movie Pleasure fans out there. We have some of the best fans we can ask for. I love and appreciate all of you, and I want you to have a safe holiday season. I don't know if we'll be back before the end of the year since I'm having a baby, and my wife is.
Congratulations, by the way.
And I want you to know that I say this with love, and I say this with hope for our country, and I really want everybody to be safe, hug their loved ones, and let's go forward and hope that somehow love can come out of all of this, because I love all of you. And until next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.